You guys and asking me to be here. So, my abstinent date is 12/26 of 2022. So, a little over a year and a half. And I've not shared my story yet. So, I'm a little bit nervous. So, I did make a few notes just to kind of help guide me along. The only time in my life I was skinny was from birth until age 5. And I had my tonsils out when I was 5 years old. And my mom said I just ballooned up overnight. I was the middle child. I had an older brother and a younger sister. They were both skinny their whole lives. And I think I probably, being that middle child, milked that sympathy for all it was worth, because my earliest memories of overeating were from my childhood. I would fake being sick from school so I could stay home and eat. I would not only raid the cupboards, I would raise the freezer. If it was frozen solid, I didn't care. I would gnaw at it until it was gone. I'm not a stopper. I would babysit as I became a young teenager. I lived in a very, very small town, but I would babysit for my teacher's kids and stuff, and I would raid their house and raid their freezer, and it was no wonder I was never asked back. I was always jealous of my younger sister. She's a year and a half younger than I, and most of my life I wore a woman's size 24, and my sister wore a size 0. And I was always jealous of my sister. And today she's probably still close to a 0, and I'm nowhere close to a size 24. And I'm very grateful for that. In high school, I would, it was a very small town, and if you didn't eat at the cafeteria, everybody that had a car would get in the car and go down to the local grocery store and buy, junk food. And I would, my friend Liz, I would go with Liz, and she'd always get a little tiny bag of chips and a Coke. And I'd get, a couple chips, a couple candy bars, and a Diet Coke. And it was in my school years that I knew I was different. But I couldn't help it. I couldn't control it. I started to be very self-conscious about my weight. But I could, my first diet I did in high school was called the US Women's Ski Team Diet. Guaranteed to lose 20 pounds in 2 weeks, but you have to follow the diet strictly. And I did that, and I lost 20 pounds. But after the 2 weeks was over, the diet expired, and guess what? I went back to my same eating patterns. But I learned that I could diet. So I was a career dieter, and I was a yo-yo. My weight was just like a yo-yo. I did all the pay and weighs. I even had gastric bypass surgery. And I was successful in everything for a while, but the behaviors never changed. As an adult, I would hide my sweets in a container. When my kids were little, I would keep a container of like healthy snacks for them. But I would hide my snacks so that I wouldn't have to share them with my children, my two beautiful girls, right? I would buy extra sweets at the grocery store and binge eat them on the way home just to get me home. I would hide sweets in my, I'm a sewer, and I would hide them in the pocket of my thing underneath my sewing machine so I could just eat them by the handfuls. And my husband wouldn't care. I never had to hide my food. I just didn't want to share particular foods. I met a friend about, and my husband never once said, "You need to do something about your weight. You need to diet. You need to exercise. You need to." Never once did he say that. This man loves me unconditionally. I met a friend a few years ago, and she looked pretty darn fabulous. And I said, "What are you doing?" And she told me I'm doing OA. And I thought, huh, that's interesting. So I went to a few OA meetings, and I heard all about the, you need to get a sponsor, 301. A lady came up to me after the meeting and said, "I will sponsor you. You will get the 12 and 12 book. You will show up at my house at 2 o'clock on Thursday, and we will do step one." And I was just like, okay, and I did that. And for one thing, I wasn't comfortable with the woman. I wasn't comfortable at her house. I wasn't comfortable being told I had to do this. And I certainly wasn't comfortable with the 301. I'd had gastric bypass surgery. I eat tiny bits at a time. It was not ever how much I ate, it was what I ate. And what I ate was mostly sugar. I would eat so much sugar, I would get physically sick. I would get diaphoretic. I would get sweaty. I would get shaky. I would get fuzzy-minded, and I would be miserable. But my first thought was, you know what would make me feel better? Another cookie. That's what would make me feel better. I mean, that's the insanity going on in my head. So I guess the bottom line with that first OA meeting was that I just wasn't ready. And I don't know if you can see this, but this is what I looked like 13 years ago or 12 years ago. And not at my highest weight either. I do have a few pictures, but and again, you know, I'm 4 feet 11, guys. And when I came back into this program the second time around, I was 200 pounds. So on a frame of 4 feet 11, you know, it doesn't look well. And I was so self-conscious. I never wanted to see people. I never wanted to have people see me eat. I always wanted to eat in private, because it was what I ate. You know, if we'd go out to dinner with other friends, we'd always split our meals because, you know, I could never eat a whole meal. But then I would eat as soon as I came home. I'd be hungry for that last little bit, you know. These are pictures from this summer. You know, I'm almost 70 pounds down since I started program. And, you know, I owe that to this whole program. So, you know, th about 3 years ago, I tried OA and I wasn't ready. And I told this sponsor, I'm not ready. And she's a friend from another program. So I kind of felt like I have trouble with the N word. I can't say no to people. But I just said, I'm not ready. And so, you know, we were kind of still doing the diet thing, you know, kind of being careful. You know, my husband and I were both in program at that time, but we went home to Southeast Washington for the summer. And of course, the day we get home, it's my hubby's birthday. And oh, Dad, welcome home. Here's a birthday cake. And the next day it was a grandson's birthday, another cake. And the next day it was a grandson's high school graduation, another celebration. And before you know it, the grandkids were playing in the backyard, and Paul and I were at the kitchen counter with forks and the cake, just going as fast as we can. And I fell off that wagon and I fell hard. And it took a couple years to come back. And the only reason I came back, the main reason I came back, was because one of the daughters and her family came down at Thanksgiving time, Thanksgiving. And she had just started into program. We tried to get her excited about program when we were up in Washington. And then she kind of went off on her own and then got into the program and was doing it when she came down to Yuma at Thanksgiving time. So Paul went with her to a meeting and I stayed home with, you know, the 6-year-old granddaughter, and we made rolls and we made pies and we did all this preparation for Thanksgiving. And then he came home and said, I need to do this. I need to do this for my health. And you know what? It pissed me off. It's the holidays. We'd finally had a house. We'd been living in our motor home. We finally had a home. I wanted to do the holidays. I wanted to decorate. I wanted to bake. I used to love to make Christmas goodies. You know, I had 20 pounds planned for that holiday season. And now he chooses to tell me he's going back to OA. Well, my job as a wife is to be supportive of my husband. Guess what? That means Lisa's going back to OA. So he didn't drag me back. I went back on my own, but I was kicking and screaming. I wasn't happy about it. I probably wasn't very pleasant at the meetings. I went back to this same woman and asked her to sponsor me. Bless her heart, and she's on screen today. And she said she would. I said, but you know, we have an event coming up in February. This is December now, 1st of December. I can't possibly start the steps until the middle of February. I mean, what does that tell you? I wasn't ready, but I continued to go to meetings. I continued, but I wasn't doing the program and I wasn't doing the work. But I continued to go to the meetings, and you know what? It sunk in. I heard something at a meeting I needed to hear, like I do at all meetings I go to. So I was basically abstinent from sugar from that early in December of that year. But I wasn't going to deprive myself. I wasn't going to have a pity party. I wasn't going to do the poor Lisa starting at Christmas. So I told myself I would have one piece of a certain kind of Christmas candy for Christmas, one piece. And I kept telling myself that all December. And the day on Christmas Eve, a gal came to me with a plate of this particular Christmas candy. And when she left, my first instinct was to throw it in the garbage. But then we had invited guests over for Christmas dinner, and I said, "Bring dessert, because I'm not making any. If you want it, you bring your own." And I thought, well, I'll feed it to our company. But Christmas morning came, and I woke up and started our meal prep, and I thought, I'm having one piece of that Christmas yummy. That little tiny 1-inch square, I had one little tiny bite of it. And my first instinct is, what have you done? What have you done? You had a good thing going. Why did you ruin it? Of course, I finished the one square, right? But then it wasn't worth it. It was rich, it was gritty. I was thoroughly, talk about, I was disgusted with myself, and I had that remorse. Why did I do that? But you know what, guys? I paid for that. For the next 2 weeks, solid, I had the worst sugar cravings. I never want to forget those sugar cravings. I literally white knuckled those next 2 weeks. I would go to the grocery store, get what I needed to get. I would come out with white knuckles without any sugar. I just, it was miserable. I even went to the store once determined to get something salty, and I was never big into the salts, but I was so focused on what salty thing I wanted. I was looking and searching, and I couldn't even make up my mind. I was so fogged. And somebody said, "Lisa, hi." And I looked at this girl and I thought, "Who are you?" And it was a friend from my other program. But and so we had a nice little chat when I realized who it was. And by the time that pause happened, my higher power put her on that aisle for me. By the time that pause happened, it was just like, what am I doing here? And I walked away. I didn't need that. But you know, just these little bits of insanity. But I never want to forget that sugar craving, because it was the most miserable 2 weeks of my life. So wouldn't you know it? By the time I came to start working the steps with my sponsor, I was ready, willing, and able. I was excited about the program. I was already starting to, you know, work the program into my life. And I like that it's called the Design for Living, because it doesn't have to fit a cookie cutter mold, you know? And people will come up to me and they say, "What are you doing?" And I say, "I'm doing Overeaters Anonymous." But a lot of people will come up to me and say, "Oh, you're taking that shot, right?" You know what? It makes me mad. It makes me really angry, because I'm not taking the shot. I'm doing this program, and this program is my lifestyle. It's a lifestyle that Paul and I love. You know, I don't submit a food plan to my sponsor. She doesn't require that, but she knows what I eat on a daily basis. It doesn't vary very much. When we go out to dinner, we always split a meal. We look at the menu ahead of time, but we find out that I like cooking and we like eating at home more than we like going out, because we have more control over things. You know, I'm just abstaining from sugar. My sweetie is abstaining from a few more items, but we're successful at this. And I owe that to the program. I think every time I go to a meeting, I've never walked away from an OA meeting thinking, that's an hour of my life I will never get back. You know, I always hear something I need to hear. I love my sponsor to pieces. I sponsor other women. I love seeing the light come on in their eyes. And, you know, just that connection with the higher power. I pray and meditate every morning. You know, thank you for my abstinence. Please, God, give me strength to be abstinent today. And He does. My God does that for me. You know, there have been a few instances that I've been around sweets. They don't bother me anymore. But I stay away from things that I worry might trigger me. Somebody will say, "Well, you can have that. It's keto." Well, I don't care if it's keto brownies or keto whatever. I worry that just the sweetness might trigger me. So I prefer to stay away from it altogether. And that's just the choices I've made. And, life is a choice for me, and I'm free to make those choices unless I take the first bite of something I shouldn't eat, and then those choices are done. So I'm just very grateful to the program, and everybody in this program has helped me with my recovery. And that's pretty much all I have for today. I knew it would be short and sweet. When I'm nervous, I talk fast. So thank you for having me here, and thank you for allowing me to share.
Good job.